हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Okay, so we're continuing with the discussion with Arjuna and Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. So now Krishna has brought in the point about trying to go beyond just the material concept of happiness and try to go to the level of the soul and see what is spiritual and beyond that, the transcendental happiness. So Krishna is then speaking here. The Vedas give direction for achieving material happiness, Arjuna, but there is a deeper purpose behind all Vedic instructions. One who knows this purpose can satisfy all his desires without pursuing them all separately, just as one who has access to a great river has no need for small wells and ponds. The greatest aim of life is achieved by working without desire for the fruits of action, simply because it's one's duties to do so. In this way, you can be situated in yoga without attachment for success or failure in your work. Thus, you will remain untouched by sin. Even your previous karmic reactions will be destroyed by such work. You will then be able to attain the highest destination, the supreme abode of God, and be freed forever from the cycle of birth and death. When you are no longer attached by the promises of material happiness given in the Vedas and remain satisfied by the self alone, you will be then fixed in the divine consciousness that leads to eternal liberation. Right, so, you know, he's explaining the whole thing here, performing your particular duty, right, that's been, you know, that's given by the laws of nature and all that, but without attachment, so you're unaffected by gain and loss and happiness and distress. That will then liberate you from the material existence. Then you can go forward to the transcendental abode of the Lord. So that's why you understand the laws of nature are God's laws. I follow them, but I follow them not from the material benefit, but to please the Lord. So that means I do it without attachment to material benefits, though those come. But I'm not attached to that. And so then I'm going to be doing this to please the Lord. And so my focus is on that. And the secondary, the body, is taken care of by the results of your action. But the consciousness is absorbed in the Lord. Right? So that brings that one can be fixed in divine consciousness, and that leads to eternal liberation, right? Because otherwise, if you perform your duties without attachment, and you're consistent in that with knowledge, you can get liberation. But because the soul being eternal in Sat, Chit, and Ananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss, that kind of liberation only deals with Sat, the eternal aspect. Yes, you're liberated, you'll be eternally, you know, on that eternal platform. But the point is without Chit and Ananda, or without knowledge and bliss, the living entity can't function. You're lacking. You're only addressing one third of your nature. So again, for knowledge and for bliss, if you don't know the transcendental knowledge and bliss, then you'll come back to the mature world for knowledge and bliss. That's just living entities, a person. That's the way it works. Arjuna asked, how can we recognize a man in divine consciousness? O Krishna, what are his symptoms? Such a person takes no delight in sensual pleasures, O Partha. He is ever satisfied within himself. No miseries can disturb him, nor any kind of material happiness. He is without attachment, fear, and anger, and always remains aloof to the dualities of this world. His senses are under complete control, even though he may still experience sense desires. His mind is fixed upon the Supreme, and he is always peaceful. He does not dwell upon the objects of sense pleasure, which can steal away even a practiced yogi's mind, and thus he keeps himself free from all material entanglement. Due to such sense control, his intelligence is undisturbed, and he is peaceful. O Arjuna, one whose senses are uncontrolled is not peaceful. How then can he ever be happy? If you're not peaceful, you can't be happy. So we see it's only by having that knowledge and working on the platform of the soul in connection with the Supreme Soul, that in devotion, then we can see is that then one is not affected by anything of the material world. One is situated on the transcendental platform. He is peaceful. He is happy. So it's actually what this soul is looking for. Arjuna was bewildered. Krishna was recommending yoga and sense control, keeping oneself peaceful, and at the same time telling him to fight. How are the two compatible? Oh, Keshaval, why do you want me to engage in this ghastly warfare if you think that yoga and detachment are better, right? Because we have to remember, Arjuna came into it that the war, due to attachment, means I'll kill Duryodhana and all his nonsense, you know, people. And then, you know, justice will be established, Yudhishthira will be back on the throne, the world will go nicely and all that. And so, yes, we want this battle because of attachment. Then he gets to the battlefield and then he sees again it's attachment that, oh, he doesn't want to kill all his relatives, otherwise then we win the battle, there'll be no one left to, you know, share it with. So both cases, it's material attachment. So he's looking at it that, you know, how can you say I should engage in this battle when you're saying be detached? But that's Krishna's point. You perform your duty without attachment. He's a Kshatriya, he's fighting, so he's fighting because it's his duty, so he does his best for that. And then, because he's the devotee, then therefore he does it to please the Lord. That will give the best result, like that. Surely fighting requires me to be motivated by desire for victory. I am confused by your instructions. Please tell me clearly what will be most beneficial to me. Right, because he thinks, if I get a result, it's my result. He can't think, oh, I'm working for Krishna, the result's for Krishna. It's just like if I have knowledge and skills, I apply them, that gets a result, it's mine. My knowledge, my skills, my endeavor, my result. And if you're detached, that means I don't want a result, so therefore I don't do the endeavor, therefore I don't bother to apply any skills because I don't have the knowledge. So I just don't bother with that. So this is why the spiritual knowledge becomes harder to understand, because we're thinking that I work because I want the result. I don't want the result, I don't work. So that, basically, you explain that, anybody will understand that. When you explain, you do your work without attachment, you know, just to please the Lord. And so whatever your duties are, you do that. But you're not performing them because of your material attachment. You're performing them because it will please Krishna that you're doing your duties. Right? And you're performing those to do his duties, that he'll be happy. Not that, oh, him being happy, then I'll get material benefit. It's just free from that. So it's on another platform, because you have the whole spiritual world in which dynamic activities between the Lord and the devotees is eternally going on. And so then if one can do that, one can work on that spiritual platform, one was always doing one's duties within the spiritual context, all in relationship with the Lord, centered around the Lord. And that way then the Lord, who's unlimited, can interact with unlimited living entities in their relationship with the Lord. So it all goes very nicely. Okay, so now he's asking, he's confused, so he asks, please tell me clearly what is most beneficial. O sinless Arjuna, there are two paths to liberation. One involves renunciation and the pursuit of knowledge, while the other involves working without material desires. One cannot achieve perfection by renunciation alone. For, by simply stopping work, one does not necessarily remain free from karmic reaction, right? Because you're not doing that duty, but you'll be doing some action. Otherwise, how do you maintain yourself? And so in that performance of those actions, how can you say you're not going to be entangled? Impelled by his nature, a man is forced to act at every moment, even if the action is only in his mind. To withdraw the senses while allowing the mind to think of sense pleasures is useless, right? So you don't perform an activity, but the mind is dwelling on sense gratification. I mean, it's just like, let's say it's a fast day. And so you're not eating anything, you're very strict, but all you're thinking about is what you're going to, you know, cook tomorrow. You're going to make this and that, and you're like this. And, you know, so then it's not exactly, you know, your ideal position. Oh, Arjuna is simply a pretense of yoga. Far better is the man who uses his intelligence to control his senses, but at the same time works without attachment. Right? So that's the whole point. So then if you keep yourself busy and doing service for Krishna, then you see is then, let's say in that case you're fasting, then you're busy and you're not thinking of so many things. Arjuna thought of his own case. If he tried to renounce the battle and remain aloof, his mind would still work. It was likely he would continue to think of Duryodhana and his evil deeds and of how Yudhishthira had been robbed of his kingdom. Those thoughts would sooner or later impel him to act, to take up arms and fight. But how can one fight without attachment, right? So this becomes the point. How do I perform a duty that I only do because of attachment and do it without attachment? So that becomes the whole, like I'm eating because I'm attached to eating. I'm hungry. I want to, you know, take care of that. I want to taste nice things. So therefore, that's why I eat. But Krishna is saying, no, you eat without attachment. Right? Because it's your duty. You have to take care of the body, and therefore the human being is supposed to take remnants of sacrifice. Therefore, I cook nicely without attachment. I offer that to the Supreme Lord. That then yajna, or that results of sacrifice, then that I'm honoring. And so I'm eating that because it pleases Krishna that I'm doing that. At the same time, you'll be tasting, the body will be nourished, all the things that you would be there otherwise. But your focus is not on that as it is on Krishna. And so that's the thing. By the higher, the lower is already included. But we're thinking, no, unless I do it, I won't get anything. But it's actually, if you have, like if I get 100 rupees, 10 rupees is already included. But if I think 100 rupees, I have to go through and get every rupee one by one, you know, until I get like that. Now I have 100 rupees. But Krishna's saying, no, you just endeavor to get 100 rupees. You're already about, no, but is there 10 rupees in here? What about 20? What about 50? You know, so that's the difficulty. We're not used to it. We're only used to, I work because I'm attached, and if I'm not attached, I don't work. Not that I work because I'm without attachment, because I'm attached, I want to be attached to Krishna, so therefore I'm doing things for him. Work must be done as a sacrifice for Vishnu. O son of Kunti, this is detached work. Any other work causes bondage in this world. Therefore, work only for his satisfaction, means Lord Vishnu. By such sacrificial work, a man can achieve all life's necessities and at the same time make spiritual progress. Means if you're making spiritual progress, the material will be included. But endeavoring for the material does not in any way, shape, or form means you're doing anything spiritual. Only a man who is completely self-satisfied need not perform such work, right? So someone who's come to the Paramahamsa platform where he doesn't need any material benefits, doesn't worry about anything, and he has no obligations, then he can sit down and not do any work and just be absorbed in hearing and chanting and remembering about the Lord. But until such time, then he can do. But even such a person, if he does activities without attachment to please the Lord, it's pleasing. Right? So the one has to do it as sadhana to elevate themselves. The other one is doing it simply as devotional activities. Arjuna wondered if he was able to remain self-satisfied. He already had some experience of yoga and meditation. Did he really need to work? Krishna smiled. A generally detached man sees no need for work, but he also sees no need to give up work. He sees, I don't need to work to get the results for myself. But there's also, at the same time, no need to give up work. Why not do the work? Right? He's a kshatriya. He's first going, I'm going to fight for my own benefit, you know, and the family. Then he's thinking, no, I won't fight for my own benefit in the family. You know. But then he sees that there's no need to give up. I can perform the work of fighting as a kshatriya, but the result's not for me. And there's no need to give up doing his duties as a kshatriya. Right? Because he has nothing to gain either way. Because we saw before, fighting was for his own gain, and not fighting was for his own gain. But what he's saying here is, no, the fighting or not fighting, you're looking at, no, it's what is going to be beneficial for your relationship with the Lord. He works simply as a matter of duty and without desire for the results. By his work, he ultimately attains the Supreme. He also sets the right example for others. For whatever a great man does will always be followed by ordinary men. Right? So then in that way also it's service, because he's doing it to please Krishna, he has nothing to gain, and it sets an example for others. Krishna was thinking of Arjuna's position in society. He was highly esteemed as a leader and hero. He gave up his duty, even assuming he was qualified to do so. Then his example would be imitated by unqualified men. Krishna reminded Arjuna of the famous King Janaka. Although renowned as an advanced spiritualist and quite capable to remain fixed in meditation on the Supreme, Janaka had nevertheless continued to do his duty as a king. Even though he's a great Paramahamsa, he still ruled the world and saw that everything went nicely. Like that, then others would be inspired, yes, I can do my duties and be Krishna conscious. Think of my own example, O Partha. You know my identity as the Supreme Lord of all the worlds. What duty is there for me? Nevertheless, I execute all the duties incumbent on a man in my position very carefully. It means the role he's taken in his pastimes as a kshatriya king, you know, like this from Dwarka and that. He does all those as a married person. He does all those duties. Then everybody else can say, yes, you know, I should do those. Otherwise, then people who are very qualified, or in this case the Lord, who's the most qualified, then if he doesn't do duties, others go, well, I'm qualified, and not do duties. You know, everyone always wants to go to the top. If I did not do so, then all the worlds would fall into ruination, for all men would follow my example. Arjuna knew that Krishna, as a householder, a member of the royal order, was scrupulously performing the duties prescribed in the Vedas for such men. He was a perfect example. One who knows the truth knows well the difference between material work, motivated only by sensual desires, and work done for the pleasure of the Supreme. O Arjuna, I am that Supreme. Therefore fight for my pleasure without desire for personal gain, with no claims to proprietorship, and without lethargy. Those who work only according to my instructions, with full faith in me, attain complete liberation. Those who disregard my injunctions, however, are simply fools and will achieve neither perfection nor happiness. Right? So performing it without any attachment to the results that it's mine, it's only done to please the Lord. Then following that, you get complete liberation. So here, liberation means getting out of the material world. But complete liberation means getting out of the material world and getting into the spiritual world. Otherwise, if you only get out of the material world, it's just a matter of time. You have no place. You have to come back. Just like, let's say, astronauts, they go out into space, but because they can't stay there, they come back. You know, you throw a ball up in the air, and it goes up, and it goes out of your reach, but then it comes back. Because it has no place to stay. So if you leave this planet, you have to go to another. So if you leave the material world, you have to go to the spiritual world. Right? And so you leave this planet, material, go to the spiritual planet, there you can stay. This made sense to Arjuna. He had always understood Krishna's divinity, and that knowledge had always stood him in good stead. He and his brothers had enjoyed Krishna's protection up to the present moment, when he stood ready to go with them into battle against their enemies. Why then did not all men devote themselves to Krishna's instructions? Arjuna's voiced this doubt. Why, dear Lord, do men not do their religious duties? So Krishna then answered, they are overpowered by lust, the greatest enemy in this world. Due to excessive desire for material objects, men commit sinful activities, not seeing the suffering that will result. Lust is never satisfied. Rather, it burns like fire, and when it is frustrated, it turns to anger. Man is thus completely bewildered when he gives in to lust, O Arjuna. You should check lust by controlling your senses. Otherwise, it will destroy your knowledge and self-realization. Listen now as I explain the science of sacrifice and self-control. Right? So if you perform your duties without attachment for pleasing the Supreme, you go to the spiritual world. But if you perform your duties out of lust, that will bind you in the material world. So now he'll explain how you can perform that yoga of self-sacrificing control. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.